You are listening to Bible Direction for Life, the sermon podcast of Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington. We pray that the preaching and teaching you hear on this podcast connects the truth of the Bible to your life, that you would learn more about the triune God who made you and what he made you for. The following sermon is a part of our summer church preaching series. Each Sunday night during the summer, Westside gathers outdoors to hear sermons from the various preachers in our congregation. For this last service of the summer, Dave Harper preached a sermon titled Creation, Crayons, and Convertibles from 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
Amen. Thank you, Philemon. Thank you, sound men. And thank you especially for not turning on the sound while we were singing. I was singing light just in case there was an accident there. But it's like we're looking at 5:26 here, at least on this clock. So I only have 3.5 hours of material to put into 34 minutes. So we'll see how this goes tonight. But before we start, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank thee and praise thee for thy word. We thank thee for your ways. God, we thank thee for creation. We thank you for your Son. We thank thee for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank thee for health and life and a sound mind. And we pray, Father, tonight as we listen to thy word, Father, that we would admit that it is true, be guided by its principles, and be spurred by the action we should take in accordance with those principles. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I think a poignant section of Scripture for what's going on in our world today. There is so much, amen? So much going on, so much turmoil, so much disillusion, so much upheaval in all realms, in the social realm, in the economic realm, in the medical realm, in the spiritual realm. There's always spiritual wickedness in high places that we need to deal with, amen? We're going to look at a little bit of this tonight, perhaps at a little bit different twist than you've heard before, so I'll take it that you're probably there by now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we'll read the whole chapter and then we'll begin our message. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God." Now, interesting point here. If this happened in a week, and I'm not sure it did, but it talks about a week here, 144,000, that would be 144,000 animals in a 168-hour week. So that'd be 857 an hour. And if they only did it for 12 hours a day, it'd be 1,714 per hour. Divided by 60 minutes would be 28.5 a minute, or one sacrifice every 2 seconds or so. Kind of interesting, huh? But that's not the message. Verse 6, "And the priests waited on the offices, and the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat." Which is kind of obvious from what we read, amen? "Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the servants' month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry, in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. Verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Verse 19, but if he turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Familiar verses, amen. We know the familiar promise in verse 14, of my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin and will heal their land. But that's not the message. I want you to look back at verse 19. Verse 19 and verse 20. Many messages could be written. You could do a series on this book alone, amen? As many no doubt have. But I want to focus tonight on some standards. Biblical standards. Now, before you get all squirmy in your seat and think that I'm going to talk about dress standards or grooming standards or any of those worldly things, okay? I'm not. It's not the message. This is about biblical standards. But if you turn away, the Bible says, and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations. Now he's talking to Solomon, he's talking to the children of Israel, amen? And yet we could take this on ourselves and understand the same is for us. Amen? The same is for us. Whether it's verse 14, whether it's verse 19 and 20, we should be following along not only in our mind, in our heart, in our soul, but in our lives to perpetuate what God has said here. And to do that, we have to agree with God's standards. We have to agree with God's standards. No Christian probably has the intent, unless it's a, you know, maybe some do, maybe some have, but no Christian typically goes out to say, you know what, I really want to follow another God. This is just not working for me. I'm just going to go follow another God, particularly when they don't even know what that means. Amen? And yet, we have a tendency to naturally stray toward that philosophy, if it is, or practice, if it is, or moving away from God, either by a sin of commission, we go do something intently, or we do it by omission, by not by not worshiping the one and true God. Amen. We usually don't start out with that intent. Amen. And yet we can be drawn away, as the Bible says, by our own lust and enticed. And a lot of it is because we forget God's standards. We forget God's standards for biblical behavior. But tonight, mostly, I don't want to talk about behavior so much as, although that could be a secondary, as I want to talk about standards that come with belief systems, standards that come with what God's Word has to say, and particularly in tonight, in regards to creation. Regards to creation. We see creation all around us, amen? We see the trees, we see the sky, there's the rain, and it's so variable. I mean, the other day there was 17 inches of rain in Tennessee. 17 inches, can you imagine that? And yet here, it hasn't rained in what, 2 months, 3 months? Not substantively, amen. The changes are amazing. I remember being up in the North Atlantic in the sea at some time, and we had, let's see, I have to be careful what I say here. Anyway, we'd go up out of the water for a time, and it was like 15 degrees, and it was like 90-some degrees down on the boat. And it was like a 100-degree change, but amazing how different that change was. And so you'd go up, it'd be cold, you'd get basically ice on yourself, and then you go down, it would melt, and that's horrible on the body, by the way. Don't go trying to do that. Amen? Don't go trying to do that. And by the way, these firefighters, God bless them. God bless them for charging those fires. But we're going to talk about standards in regards to creation and how we don't always see things the way God sees it, and how we can be lured away from His standards and into behaviors that are destructive not only to us, but to His witness. To His witness. And before we do that, let's go ahead and look at verse 22 again. Interesting that God says in verse 14 what will happen if we obey. He also says what will happen if we don't obey. But interesting, look at verse 22. It says, "And it shall be answered because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath He brought all this evil upon them." You understand? You see what's going on here? Even though the people did evil in the sight of the Lord, it was still a witness to the world. Now, God forbid we go do something wrong to be a witness for the world, to the world, because God destroys us. Amen? I'm not saying that's a goal. What I'm saying is God is going to get the glory either way. Amen? And people had the opportunity to see what happened to Israel when they didn't follow God. It even says so. And so understand, the world is watching you and the world is watching me, and they're listening and watching and evaluating the way we act and the way we react. And in regards to standards and in regards to following God's covenants and so forth, it's not just about us. It's about God, but it's also about a lost and dying world. There have to be standards everywhere. Amen? Let's talk about standards a little bit. How we can get so confused by the world, the flesh, and the devil. There must be clearly defined standards, or we cannot recognize deviation from those standards. Man understands this concept. Have you ever gone to an intersection, a four-way red light intersection, and the power's out? And maybe you're not at the intersection yet, but you're coming up on what you know is the intersection. You're like, what's all this traffic? Where's all the traffic coming from? I went over to Bonnie Lake last night to see my son and his family, and it took 2 hours, 20 minutes to get to Bonnie Lake because there was a car fire in I-5, and there was like one lane going north. But of course, I didn't know what the hazard was or the issue was. I just knew I was in traffic. So at any rate, you go to an area and, oh yeah, the lights are out. And you understand all of a sudden that it's going to take longer. Why? There's no standards. It's not red for this guy, green for that guy, green arrow, yellow arrow, blinking yellow. And don't get me started on blinking yellow arrows. Don't get me started on that. Come into the intersection so we can see the front of your car when you're stuck here because somebody's in front of you and the camera catches you. No, I don't want to go there. So I just sit and wait at the light and get the guy behind me mad at me rather than be stuck in that intersection and get flashed by the camera and have to grovel in front of a judge. That's just me. You do what you think is right and what's in accordance with the law, but that's what I do. So there has to be standards. There has to be order and discipline, even with the language. With the language. Let's eat, Grandma. Let's eat. Grandma? Let's eat Grandma. Wait a minute. What happened to the comma? Is there a comma? Is there not a comma? What's going to happen? Well, in one case, Grandma's going to come to the dinner table. Well, actually, in both cases, she's going to come to the dinner table, right? But the outcome will be totally different if it was actually executed. Excuse the pun. There's functionality in the standards. Countries have lines of demarcation that define borders at 12 miles, 12 nautical miles if you talk about the sea. I mean, it's an international standard. There have to be standards, otherwise there's chaos. Otherwise there's chaos. Without standards and order, there's chaos, anarchy, and division. But this order must not be defined by man, but by God. For it is His creation. Again, we're going to talk about creation here. We must accept and cling to God's reference points and recognize the devil's attempt to distract and delude us, or we will fall to the devil's obfuscation, and before we know it, we've left God and are serving an illusion and other gods, as warned in verses 19 and 20. We must, as His children, recognize God's plan, our place in it, and embrace not only God's order, but the purpose of fulfilling it. God's creation is perfect. It is effectual and the only functional mechanism to ensure life and life more abundantly, as it says in the Bible. Amen? Let's go ahead and look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, some of these foundational truths we see in Genesis 9. By the way, the title of this message is Creation, Crayons, and Convertibles. And you'll know why soon. Creation, Crayons, and Convertibles. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 7, I'll let you chew on that for a minute. In verse 7, the Bible says, "And you," this is after the flood, amen, God bless Noah, it said in verse 1, and his family. But it says in verse 7, "And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein." Well, that's pretty clear. Amen? That's pretty clear. And I don't think we need to go into detail here. But there's only one way to make that happen. So it is a creational issue. It is a covenant issue with marriage. Amen? "And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him and said, And I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow," the rainbow is what we call it, "in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." So what did God Almighty say about the rainbow? What is it? It's a covenant, amen? It's a covenant. And the meaning of that covenant, we just heard it. "It shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Excuse me, we didn't just hear it. We've heard it many times. I hadn't read it yet. So the covenant was, he said, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So we have a foundational, creational covenant with man and God. Amen? It says, I'm not going to destroy you by this means anymore. So any other thing that we try to make out of the rainbow is what? It's a fraud. Whatever it is, it's a fraud. Because it doesn't go back to the covenant. If it represents anything else, it's a fraud because it's not representing God's covenant that he made with us. Amen? And it doesn't have that functionality. Doesn't have that functionality. The Bible says in verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So the devil is very crafty. He's very wise. He's always going to try to attack the fundamental covenants of the faith. The fundamental covenants that God has established between God and man. Amen? To, for example, that are in this passage, the functional covenants are the rainbow and marriage. Be fruitful and multiply. And the rainbow. They have some like functional things there, right? There's only one way to be fruitful and multiply. Let me ask you a question. You have a six-year-old and an eight-year-old, amen? And would you let, and you can think in your mind and the world, would you allow your children to decide what they eat for every single meal? Nope. All on their own? Nope. No. Would anyone here do that has a six or an eight-year-old? I don't see a hand. And I would argue that most of the world would not do that either. And yet, think of this. No, you can't do that. You don't understand. You need nutrition. No, we're not going there. But that same person may and does, in some cases, go to their children and say, you know what? It's okay if you decide the creation of the universe by your actions, and you make your own decision in life. You make your own decision in life what God's creation is. Does that even make sense? But people don't see the duplicity in that because they're not looking at the covenants of God. So the devil will try to get us distracted with social discourse, with when there's pain and travail, and when all these things come along, pestilence, you know, COVID, all those kinds of things. He'll get us distracted on how it's affecting us as individuals or as a family or as a group or what have you. And we forget about the covenant principles. We have to go back to the basis for the things we believe, amen? Otherwise, we're going to believe a lie, and we're going to follow verse 19 and 20, and we're going to serve other gods. Now, why did I say covenants, colors, and convertibles? Which is not quite a convertible, but close. What's this? Louder. A Mustang. What year? Can you tell from there? Close? Closer? Closer? Very close. 64 and a half. Well, that's when they started. June is 64. You can call it a 65. Okay, so that's a 65 Mustang, or at least a replica of it. Amen? So a year before that, when they took God out of public schools, and I was 5 years old, and I remember that, actually, and so do a few of you in here as well, we had these. Crayons, yes. And this is as big as the boxes came. There were 8 whole colors in there. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Still is. 1963. 8 colors. Do a lot with them, and you learned a lot. Circa 2017. 152 colors. For you math majors, that's 19 times the amount that's there. Okay. There are what they call prime colors. Interesting, I was trying to remember, I didn't want to get this wrong, so I looked up in the internet. You know what I found? I found, what are the two prime colors? What are the three prime colors? What are the four prime colors? What are the five prime colors? What are the real prime colors? There's so much confusion out there. It's generally accepted there are three. What color is that, kids? I heard a couple of oranges. Jackie said there'd be no oranges. I said there would. I'm used to wearing high vis, so this may look a little orange to me. But it's supposed to be yellow, because that's all that came in the construction paper box. Blue! Yay! Red! And somebody knew what was coming, amen? Now, those are standards. Generally accepted standards. Unless you look at computer stuff and then they say, oh, the RGB colors are magenta and cyan or cyan. I don't even remember how to say it. But anyway, the standards are all over the map. And when you get to 152 and you start mixing them, there's like 17 things in the yellow shade. 17 things. And this distracts me a lot. There are blutiful, cerulean, wisteria, cornflower, which it's some kind of blue, but I thought corn was like red and green. Anyway, or excuse me, yellow and green. Marvelous, which is a take on mauve, whatever that is. Cerise, there's so many different, fuzzy wuzzy, eggplant, manatee, and of course, timberwolf. Do you ever try to order pants online and you see timberwolf? What is that? What is that color? I want to see it. I want to know what it is. What is timberwolf? What is wisteria? What is heather? I thought it was a girl's name, not a color. So I have to look it up because the picture doesn't show me. It's so frustrating. Amen? Amen? Yeah, exactly. You got to buy it first and send it back and all that. But anything your heart desires is in here as far as how you want to see things. Now, it's kind of a simple, silly illustration. But the point is people see different things and they go off on a tangent. If I told you right now, if I asked you right now what color were the leaves back there, the majority would say it's some kind of greenish, right? There's a few browns, there's a few, soon there'll be some yellows and reds and so forth. But people can argue all day long about what these things are. And you know why? I know what I see when I look at this paper. I have no idea what you see because I don't have your optic nerve. So I don't know what you see. I just know we're looking at the same thing, but you might see a lighter color, a darker color than I do, a more vibrant thing. We heard a couple oranges here because it's not like high-vis yellow, right? And so what's my point? My point is the devil can get us distracted on so many different things that are off topic that have nothing to do with the standards that we started off with. Now, is there anything wrong with making 1,000 colors? No. Sherwin-Williams makes lots of profit on that. Amen? And are you looking at Crayola or Sherwin-Williams? You know, they have different colors, different names. It's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. The Bible also says there is a difference in flesh. Did you know that? There's a difference in flesh. The Bible says there's a difference in flesh between a man and a beast, and the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea. Did you know that a comparable size chimpanzee with my weight has 5 to 8 times my strength? There's a difference between the flesh of a man and the flesh of a beast. But we have to agree with God's creation and agree and say, yes, I agree. I understand. I saw a photo the other day or something. It was a full-grown chimpanzee about my size. Amen. And he was sitting next to a baby, like a baby that's a crawling baby, not a walking baby yet even. And they were filming it. And, oh, how cute. Oh, how cute. I thought, you are out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You have an animal that God has created, that can lift a full-size refrigerator up a tree by pulling its arm and dragging the refrigerator up a tree, and you're going to let that near your baby. You're out of your mind. But if you see that as just a cute animal, then you're deluded. If you disregard creation, you're deluded. Amen? If we don't agree with God, we are destined for failure. The covenant of the rainbow has been attacked. The covenant of marriage has been attacked. Even the Ten Commandments, the law, and the prophets have been attacked. You say, how is that, Brother Dave? Well, I'll tell you. The Ten Commandments, the law, and the prophets. Good ways to live? Yes, absolutely, right? If everybody could do that, and we can't, and the Bible says that, and that's several other messages, amen, but if we could, that'd be wonderful, right? Life would be great. But we can't. And so a large swath of humanity has taken upon the Ten Commandments and the practices and said, this is our goal. We are going to do this for the sake of itself. And they may even, in their mind, have the right motive, at least in their thoughts, because they're not acknowledging God. They're acknowledging man and social discourse and social getting along, if you will. And so they'll follow that to the best they can. They'll all have to agree. None of us can keep the law. Amen. We're all sinners. We're all condemned to death. You know, for all, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is none righteous, no, not one. So if that's all the Ten Commandments is, we're done. But what is Romans chapter 5, I believe it is. I don't have time to turn there. What does it say the law does functionally? It's a schoolmaster to do what? To bring us to Christ. That's God's intent for the law. Not just because it helps us get along with each other, not just because we can have a good nation if we obey the law, and if we don't obey the law, we'll have a rotten nation. That's a byproduct. That's another thing. That's a secondary thing. But the purpose of the law was not just to tell us how we could live, and we could never live. We heard Brother Woods talk for a week about a father frustrating their children. In Ephesians 6:4, amen? Making, and one way to do that is trying to put some on them they could never do. Is that God's intent for us? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But again, if we don't see what's going on, if anybody's ever seen The Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain, what's really going on, okay? If we don't see that, we don't see what the devil's trying to do, then we're not going to understand, and we'll follow that false god right into the pit of hell. Right into the pit of hell. Functionally, God created the universe and all that in there is. Amen? Without order, there is chaos, anarchy, dysfunctionality, and division, whether it be in a family, a church, or a nation. But this order must not be defined by man, but by God. We must accept and cling to and agree with God's truths as laid out in the Scripture and the reference points, and recognize the devil's attempt to distract and delude us, or we fall to the devil's obfuscation, and before we know it, we have left God and are serving an illusion and other gods. That's how we stick it out. That's how we don't become the nation, the people, the family, the church, whatever. If there's any kind of division, and this is a good illustration for getting married, amen? If you're both looking at God, guess what? You get closer. Good illustration for all of us, amen? So if there's a significant point of confusion or disillusion or division among a people who have the same core principles of believing in God and being saved and on their way to heaven and following God, and they have the Holy Spirit in their heart, something is wrong. Something is wrong. We need to figure out what that something is. a wife and a husband, when those times come up, we have to figure out what that trouble is. Maybe we're not watching what we really ought to be watching because we're down here in the trenches. I'll give you a good example in society. I don't want to get political here, but I wanted you to hear this message before I bring this up because this is a hot button issue with everybody. And I don't want you to look at it on a social and economic thought process, but on the we're working down here to fix something, but we forget what's really going on behind the curtain. The rent thing. The don't have to pay rent for 18 months because you don't have a job, because you got COVID, or you're stuck in your house because the government put all these mandates and all that kind of stuff. And so the landlords can't get money and the tenants can't pay money and all this stuff, right? So recently the Supreme Court said, well, I don't want to go that far. So the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which is interesting because it's a government agency that decided this, not Congress, but the CDC decided that this you couldn't force rent, you couldn't get, you know, what they've really said is this contract that you and you have entered into with each other, you can't do that. It's done. We voided it. We are the government. We can void personal contracts between people. We just said so. Okay, now again, there's issues with how you fix the problem on the deck plate, excuse the Navy term, down in the trenches, okay? Actually, it's even worse than cancel the contract. It's you will keep up your point of the contract, but you don't have to, which is what they're really saying. But there's very few discussions out there. There's all these discussions on how do we fix this, and that's true and good and right, and we have to figure that out. But nobody's saying, excuse me, just a minute. Our government just decided they can cancel contracts between individuals. That's scary. Why? Because we're not watching what's going on behind the curtain. Now, again, that kind of, it brings it down to where we live, and I didn't want to really do that much because I don't want you focused on those things, but it's the same parallel. If we don't look at the standard, just like if the government doesn't look at our standard of law and getting along in this country, the Constitution and our laws and so forth, if we don't look at that, and all we look at is what's going on over here, everything's taken away. It's going to be a loss. So it's a very easy thing to get caught up in where we're chasing this issue and this trouble, but we're not looking at what's really going on. Like I said before, creation is being challenged. Creation. Animals. What did it say? Subdue the animals. And now what do a lot of people say? Oh, they're just like us. Animals are just like us. Well, tell that to a chimp your size. Try to smile at them. They say if you smile at a gorilla, they think that you're mad at them. So they'll be mad back at you, and you don't want that. Not an animal, not a full-grown gorilla that can bench press 400 pounds, or 4,000 pounds, excuse me. So why did I bring that up? We need to be looking at standards. God has standards. He has covenants with us. We have the marriage covenant. We have the covenant of the rainbow and what it means to us. And the devil will always attack covenants and standards. And if he can get us distracted, we're actually following other gods and don't even recognize it. We have to go back to the standard. Because what did he say? If you follow, if when all of these things come upon you, back in verse 14, which is, by the way, if you look back in chapter 6, 37 through 39, Solomon prayed for. But if you look back in verse 14, this is where we need to be, Christians. Not on the fighting lines of this so much, although there's things we need to deal with. Verse 14, I'm just going to find it here. Who's got verse 14? Can read it out loud to everybody. Stand up and read it out loud. Somebody. Dean. Command voice. What you got?
Themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's all I hear.
Amen. Thank you, brother. It's where we need to be. But we need to remember verse 19 and 20 and also remember either way, God is going to get glory and the unsaved will have a witness. But where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? The question is for us tonight, all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Your Word tonight. We thank Thee, Father, for biblical standards. We thank Thee, Father, that You are right and unlike a be wrong. Because things change in the world on a daily basis, Father, You are always right and You are always good. And if we will follow You, You'll give us the desires of our heart, Father, and You'll change our hearts so that we'll want those desires that You want for us. We thank You so much, Lord, for who You are. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to recognize when we're going astray and when we start following other gods, even though we don't even think we are, because the devil is so crafty and so wicked. Help us to love one another. Help us to love all people, Lord. Help us to hate the sin within us, Father, and to acknowledge that it is sin. We pray, Father, you be with the food tonight, Lord. We know we've gone a little long. Maybe the burgers will be a little bit more done for those that wanted them. But Lord, we just thank You so much for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you would like to learn more about the Westside Baptist Church, please visit our website, www.BibleDirectionForLife.com. Subscribe to the podcast if you would like to hear new sermons and lessons each week. And remember that a sermon podcast is no substitute for opening up a Bible and reading it for yourself.